hello there, neighbors, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. We're recording show number 226, believe it or not, this fourth day of March. We're in the year 2008 at the Little Ranch House Studio here in Lufkin, Texas. Actually, it's located on Southwood Drive.
It is.
For an hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with a blind in mind. Our hosts for the show, as usual, ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson and Don Shaw.
What's happening, Thomas?
How are you doing, Thomas?
What's going on, guys?
Yeah, it was a beautiful sunshiny day. You could have joined us in person, should you?
I'll tell you what, it is pretty outside.
Oh, yeah.
A little,
right.
A little chilly.
You avoided the question. You could have joined us in person.
Well, he's supposed to say, yes, it's a beautiful day. And then I tell everybody, my name is Tom Houston.
Oh.
And then I'll say, here he is, the star of the Blind Handyman Show. Ladies and gentlemen, the creator and the producer, Phil Parr.
You still scooted past the question.
Skirting that issue.
You're skirting the issue there. That's what that's called. You could have joined us in person. Where are you?
Well, I'm here in Burt.
We'd love to have you.
Burt, Texas.
Back with us. We'd come get you, but we couldn't get your wheelchair, could we?
Well, that's right.
That's right.
Not right now.
Actually, we better get a hoist of some sort, some large.
No, it's right to now. My little brother was talking about when he comes down later in the year.
Yeah?
He said, I want to go down and see that Texas coast. And I said, well, that's fine. He said, you think the old truck will make it? And I said, well, I know the old truck will make it. And he said, but we won't carry your regular wheelchair. We'll just carry a manual wheelchair, and I'll just push you. I said, all right, we'll do that.
All right.
So I guess when he comes down, that's what we're going to do.
Well, you're certainly going to hurt our feelings if you go off with him and you won't even come up here and do handyman with us.
Well, he can load me in the truck. He's a big old boy.
So can we. Well, we're pretty big boys. Well, not this. I mean, excuse me. I didn't mean that.
I think we're just going to withdraw any offers of coming to get you. Just to help me.
John's got his mouth open. Huh? I'm a big old boy.
I've lost 8 pounds.
You've lost what?
8 pounds. Turn around, I think I found it. That's what that guy said.
That's the catch, huh?
Yeah, I've lost a little weight. Scott won the bet that we had. We had a bet going, you know.
Oh, okay.
Who could lose the most weight? He's lost about 12 pounds.
Man. Really?
Scott, he's...
I knew he was a little bit pudgy. Don't tell him I said that. But
my,
I mean, no.
Heavens. The scale said one at a time when he got on it.
If he's lost 8 pounds, I bet he's looking pretty good, though.
He is.
My talking scale goes, here comes the twins. You know?
But
you know, if you've been watching the Nutrisystem commercials, Thomas...
Oh, yes,
okay,
sir.
All right, now, if Tony Orlando, you know, if Tony Orlando and Don lost
my age, by the way. He's 63 years
lost
old.
Over 100 pounds, and he shows a size 50 waist in blue jeans. He said, now I wear a 34. So I told Don Shaw today, I'm considering trying that. You know, for 1 month, $270, you'd spend that much on a membership in a gym. I'd like to just see if it works.
What is it?
The food. They send it to your house, 3 meals a day, seven, you get 4, buy a month supply. You get, and it's their little measured out meals. See?
Yeah, and but that's all you can eat.
Yeah.
That wait till we get in the house and you see this birthday cake Luann got. You know, today is her 50th birthday.
Oh,
God. Yeah, 3, 4, 5, 8. That's right.
3, 4, 5, 8. Yes. It's 3, 4, 5, 8. She's 50 years old today, my little Luann.
I should have remembered that.
Well, she sure is. And she got her the world's smallest laptop computer.
Well, and it is a thin,
little bitty
thin machine, man.
Is it the Apple?
Yeah. It's the Apple Air MacBook Air.
It's a good one. Okay, good.
Apple Mac Air. It looks like a placemat.
Yeah, it's real.
Doesn't it?
The screen. Is like paper thin.
Yeah, the whole thing.
I'll show it to you. We've got it. I mean, we went to the Apple store at the Woodlands Mall. Woodlands? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Go across to 242 and turn left on 45 and go down about 2 miles, and there's a Woodland. I mean, Apple. There's a mall there, an Apple store in that mall.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Well, that's a rich neighborhood.
Well, we took her iPhone down there, and they exchanged it, and they had her computer, so she canceled her Amazon order, and we just brought it home with her.
So she didn't need her iPhone anymore?
Well, no. Her iPhone got real hot last week. I mean, way hot. Could have heated a sandwich on it.
Not good.
Discharged the battery.
Mm.
And so we called them, and they never admitted that this was an issue with iPhone, but they said, if you bring it in, if it's damaged, we'll replace it. Huh. And sure enough, they did.
And they got a new, brand new iPhone.
The lady plugged it up to her computer and said, there's some problems here. It looks like there's trouble here. I bet a little farther up. Anyway, she just walked over to the case and gave her a brand new one.
What a deal.
That's what I thought. So we got a brand new iPhone, and we brought home this computer that's this MacBook Air. And it's pretty cool. So
does it weigh?
Very little.
Very little.
Very light, I understand.
I have no idea what it weighs, but it's very small. You wouldn't believe how small it is. It's just very light, very...
And the case is like some type of metal or aluminum, or I don't know what it is.
The case is very thin aluminum. It has 2 gigs of RAM and 60 gig flash drive.
That's the deal.
Has the new operating system on it?
Yes, it does.
Now, is the 60-gig flash drive a card you can take out?
No.
Or is it more substantial than
it's
that?
It's just a flash drive. It's in there somewhere.
No hard drive.
No moving part. That's how they can make it so thin and light.
No fan? No motor?
I think the guy said it had a fan to cool the chip, but I couldn't hear it.
Can't hear the fan.
What a deal.
Can she add any memory to it?
No.
Can she add?
No.
Oh,
no.
2 gigs, that ought to be plenty.
2 gigs ought to be plenty.
It ought to be plenty. Only thing, Vista, if it's like the Windows Vista, takes up about a gig.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure the Mac operating system takes up less. Don't they do everything better, according to them?
I've heard that, if it's coming to graphics, for sure.
Yeah. Well, we bought a Mac. You know, this damn thing. They don't give you like Microsoft Word. They don't give you a word processing program with your $3,000 computer.
Really?
That stinks.
That's amazing.
It is. Anyway, we bought
one. Get them on the phone.
Oh, we got everything. I raised. They finally told me to leave. No, they didn't. I'm just kidding. It's good. I'm glad she got it. And happy birthday to her. She got that, and then I bought her a Kindle. Which is the book reading thing.
Has that come in yet?
That is not
Kindle.
Come in.
That'll be an interesting gizmo.
Be an interesting gizmo. So she made out all right on this birthday.
Well, yeah.
Did you call that the book reading program?
It's called a Kindle. It's sold only by Amazon.
Okay.
And you read books on it. You download books to it, and you read the book on the Kindle.
Boy, that's all right.
She made out all right on this birthday. All right, I guess we need to read some list mail and quit what we talked all afternoon about electric prices, and now we'll get into some. Tommy?
Here's a guy that's, he says he's been thinking about a color identifier for a few years. He's not sure about the accuracy of them. Doing some searches, he found price ranges from $100 to $300. He asked, is the more expensive ones that much better? I was also wondering if a color identifier would help detect burn marks on wood. This guy's name's Lenny.
I have no idea. It's another question. I've never seen a color identifier. Either one,
I was
going
to say, call Susie Barnes. Didn't she have some kind of thing that would tell colors and tell? Remember, she did.
I think she has a color identifier.
She brought it to Show and Tell one year, didn't she?
Oh, that was a money idea.
Yeah, but she had one that she demoed on this program.
That could do colors.
And we think it maybe have gotten confused a couple of times. But anyway... Man, I would go for the $100 job.
Yeah, because I don't know.
Anyway, I've got a couple of responses.
Okay, read us a couple, because I don't have any idea.
Well, this guy says, I have the color teller, which I purchased from the manufacturer in Canada. How accurate it is, I wouldn't know for sure because I'm totally blind. However, it does announce a distinction between white and cream. And with some of my jeans, it says light blue, while with others, it'll say blue-green. When I put on my hair, it says dark brown, but sometimes it says gray. Clearly, it's a piece of junk.
Yeah.
I love that.
Is that talking in the background coming from your house, Houston?
Yes, we've got a nurse here in the background talking to Clayton right now.
Oh, this is not the nurse with all the dirty jokes, is it?
Oh, no.
I'm going to tell you, can put her on.
Yeah, come and tell us a joke or two.
Put her on the air.
Here's another response now. This is from Tom, okay?
Yeah.
He said, Lenny, the one we tested, which was the cheapest from MaxiAids, wasn't very repeatable, but it would be okay for identifying clothing, I should say, once you knew how it worked on your stuff. It needs a fairly big area of the desired color to get good results. Thus, unless you burn an area of a square inch or so consistently, I doubt it would be found. Well, so that's the responses to that question.
And this is Tom Fowle, who works at
Smith Kettlewell.
And they would test all kind of things.
Oh, yeah, you know they would.
He said they tested the cheaper one, I thought.
And it didn't.
And it didn't, but yeah, the first response, if the guy was being serious and said it would distinguish between white and cream-colored, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Discerning, isn't it?
I don't think so. I don't know if I forgot what he said. He paid for his, but...
But he said it was a piece of junk.
Yeah, I think at the last, but I think he was being facetious when he said it because it said his hair was gray at some point. I think there was a little insincerity there. Anyway, I would find out maybe more from that guy there and see if you really thought you wanted one. You know, it doesn't hurt too bad to wear one white sock and one black sock. I mean, nobody's going to hold that against you forever.
I do it all the time. Here at the house, I do it all the time because, you know, you can't. Sometimes they look close together, but, you know, they just
don't. I was getting in bed the other night or getting ready to go to bed, and I looked at my socks, and I had on two brown socks. But one of the browns was a shade different from the other one.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, you know, sighted people can do stuff like that.
Well, there's something to be said about being blind and or getting old. The other day, honest to God, Emily came home from work and she said, what did you have in mind there? You have two different shoes on. I had a shoe from one pair on one foot, little canvas shoe. But, I mean, you know, I just grabbed the first at 5 in the morning.
I've never done that. Two different shoes.
Well, I don't own but three pair of shoes, so I don't have any problem there.
Yeah.
I guess I would if I could wear the flip-flops and stuff like that, because that's what I would wear.
Well, these are similar. I mean, they were both canvas-type shoes, but completely different style. I just kind of grabbed. I mean, they went on. I just kind of slid them on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just got the old shoes. I bet if I stepped on a dime, I could tell you if it's heads or tails. Remember that story?
You're like Boots Moorhead and Huntington. That's how he got his name. Remember that story?
Boots, no.
Yeah, he would wear these boots, and he had worn them out, and he had holes in the bottom, and he had cardboard covering the bottom of them.
Yeah.
And that's why they gave him the nickname Boots.
Boots Moorhead. He was down there for a long time. I wonder if he's still alive.
I think so. I think one of his brothers died.
Boy, he had it sewed up. He had Boots furniture and Boots grocery.
All of Huntington, almost.
Yeah, man. He was the entrepreneur down there. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, we've got another one here. It says, hi, list. Does anyone on this list have the all-in-one washer from LG? I went to buy it and I almost did, but when I saw that the drain hose could only be placed on top of the sink, I didn't buy it. But once I think I saw one in someone's house, they had their all-in-one under their cabinet. What I would like to know is this. Can the hose that drains the water be placed under the sink in its own drain? I know it could be done with the hot and cold, but I would like the drain to be under the sink as well. I saw the hose that drains the water, and it has a U-type thing that makes the hose hang on the side of the sink. But when I looked closer, I saw that this piece could be taken off, and once you do this, the hose becomes straight. I would like to know if I get a plumber, can or will he be able to do all my plumbing under the sink? Would like all and any help with this from people who owns this small all-in-one LG washer and dryer. Thanks. I guess it's Adorno or Adorno.
What you can't do is get the drain below the water level, because the water won't stay in the washer if you do. because it would all drain out, and there's nothing to stop it from draining out. In other words, one time we thought, oh, this is silly to go all the way up to the top, so we just ran the drain through the bottom of the floor. Well, you can't do that because the water won't stay in the washer. The water is pumped out of the washer when it drains.
Right.
It doesn't gravity feed out.
But, and also, I thought, I mean, building this in, I'm not exactly sure what he's going to do. Sort of defeats the purpose of this. I thought this was a portable deal. You get on wash day, you
That's
bring
what
it
I
out,
thought.
Put it on your it sink, and yeah.
So it would defeat the purpose of being portable.
If he's going to build
exactly.
it, if he's going to build it under his sink, in other words, firstly, that's not going to work because it's like Phil said, that's going to be below that machine's water level. Gravity has nothing to do with that. You don't want gravity playing any part of that.
And the water changing washer.
It's got to run downhill, right?
No,
it pumped up. It has to be up. That drain is designed. The water is pumped out of that washer. It doesn't run out.
It doesn't gravity feed out of the washer. You've got to have the drain. It's got to be above the water level of the washer, or the water won't stay in the washer.
But I'd like to, boy, I bet that's also an expensive puppy to operate if it's got a dryer and you're running it off of 110.
I bet it is, too.
I mean, so, because you'd have to have you couldn't have a 220 plug there.
It'd take a long time to try.
It would suck down plenty of power, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. So, anyway, no. The answer to your question is no, we don't know anything about it.
I've never seen one, but I wouldn't try it, trying to get it, because it won't work if you get that, you know, like we said.
I've got a response I want to read here. Right. It's Bob Kennedy writes in, and he says, you'll have to know the requirement for minimum drain pipe to empty into. Most washers require a 2-inch minimum, usually a 2.5-inch pipe to empty into. Also, most towns have a minimum height code in place for the drain pipe, as well, any new drain pipe in most cases has to be at least 24 inches above the floor. Now, this is to stop the siphoning action that happens when the drain hose is too short. But he says, since you're thinking of asking a plumber to install it, ask him first before you buy it. Which I thought made good sense. That last sentence did, anyway.
Well, yeah.
At $60 an hour, you don't want to hold him too long.
Hang it on the sink and
true.
Go on with it.
He could elaborate on that.
Hang it on the sink every wash day and then move it under.
Yeah, or just have a really long extension and just run it out. Open your kitchen window and just run it out the window for the best.
Don't do that. my renter, who was my daughter-in-law at the time, the bathtub wasn't draining fast enough, so one of her boyfriends just got into the house and cut the drain.
Boy, that would speed it up a bit, wouldn't it?
It drained real quick then, but of course it drained under the house, and it was just a lake under the house all
the
time.
Good.
That's a true story, too.
That's an absolute true story. It is.
That actually happened.
You've met her, haven't you, huh?
Yeah, not good.
All right, you got another one?
Yes, sir. Here's a lady. She says, I went out and purchased a battery charger made by Energizer that recharges AA, CD, and AAA batteries.
Yep.
Do I have to buy the same brand of batteries, or can I buy other rechargeable brands? Energizer wants $10 the 2C or 2D batteries, but that was steep for me, so I wondered if I could purchase a more reasonable brand as long as they were rechargeable.
Yes.
And that's Claudia.
Yeah, you don't have to stay with brands.
Or as I know, you can buy whatever.
It just needs to be charged the type of battery that you buy, but most of them now will charge all the rechargeable different nickel hydride.
I don't think she's going to find much of a difference in price.
I don't either.
All of the name brand.
They're
people,
all about the same.
Because if for some reason they do the dollar store batteries, even if they were rechargeable, they'd be like their other non-rechargeable. They'll last about a third as long.
Yeah, you'd do better just to buy a name brand battery, and you'll get a long life out of it, and you'll save a lot of money in the end.
Yeah, so there's not much difference in the price of those, would there be?
Nah, there's really not.
I think so. I mean, every once in a while you might get Sam's, or somebody might sell them on sale or something, but I think they're pretty standard.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much all going to be kind of pretty much standard priced.
All right, then, Tom.
Hey, all right, we made it.
Is that about it for you?
We did.
Let you go take a turn for the nurse. Yeah.
Not bad.
You just have people in and out of your house all the time, don't you?
I do indeed.
It's just a.
Well, I was going to say, but she's not going to move in too.
Yeah. Lord God, no.
You hope not.
Not no, but hell
yeah,
no.
And I read this. I read a book about a religion that allows men to have more than one wife. Why would you want one? More than one.
That's a good point.
You know.
Just think if they were all 50 on the same day, you'd have three apple cakes.
Oh, I couldn't handle three. And three birthday cakes. Of course, meatloaf and mashed potatoes for lunch were sure good. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
All right, Houston, I guess we'll go. Let you go and deal with whatever you're dealing with there. We want to thank you, and we want to know that someday you're going to come and see us.
I hope so.
Well, here's a novel thought, Thomas. If your brother can drive you to Galveston, surely he could drive you over here.
You know, that makes sense. That does. That makes a little sense.
Well, then I'd win the bet. Pat says you're never coming back.
No, you'd win.
That's what I'm saying. I'd win. I say you will come back soon.
I think you'll win anyway. I hope you win.
I hope so. Thanks, Tom.
I hope you win. Yes, sir.
I'll talk to you in a day or two. Thanks, Mike.
All right, y'all be good.
All right, let's do, let me punch this. Let's hear it, y'all. Let's listen.
There it goes.
Got a little Skype noise.
Skype sounds.
Yeah. Our guest is William Miller. Is that right?
William Miller is going to speak with us today about all kind of building projects he's got going on and things he's been building lately.
We'll dial him up on the phone here in just a second. Don't hang on. I'm Phil Parr, Don Shaw, Don Patterson with me. This show is called The Blind Handyman.
I'll always love you and want you to. How much you'll never know. Most of all, I miss you so.
WP Winnahatchee. Yeah. Remember that silly when we were kids? WBWP Winnahatchee. Anyway, hello there. Welcome to the Blind Handy Man Show. William Miller's our guest. How are you, sir?
Oh, pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty,
yep.
Just pretty good, not
trying,
real good.
Trying to stay warm today.
Well, where are you? I've forgotten.
In Ohio.
In Ohio, and it's cold up there, isn't it? Huh?
Yeah.
I think y'all are really catching it today.
Yeah, in between freezing rain, snow, and pure rain.
Oh,
yeah, goodness.
William, I hate to tell you this, but it's about 62 here, and the sun is shining brightly. And it's a beautiful day in East Texas.
Yeah, you need to be sitting beside a swimming pool.
Well, we got one, but it's a little cold. It's a little cool for a swimming pool. Now, you're the guy that makes clocks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been making a lot of other things, too.
Like what?
Probably about 3 months ago, I started making deer mount plaques of the state of Ohio.
To mount the deer head on?
Yeah.
Oh, what a novel idea.
Yeah,
they're, let me see here, 26 inches tall, 22 inches wide, and I make them different ways. You know, I laminate like four boards together, and some of them I leave plain, and some of them I router the board all the way around with a little round over edge on it, then laminate them all together. Which they look real nice like that, and I've been making a lot of red oak ones.
Yeah.
Then I've been making some awards plaques. I just finished up probably about a dozen and a half for the Pilot Dog Alumni Convention.
Uh-huh. Pilot Dog is in Mansfield. Is it Mansfield?
No, Columbus.
In Columbus, yeah.
Columbus,
you're right.
Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I've just been making, right now, today I was working on a screech owl box.
What is a screech owl box?
It's almost a square. A screech owl's small. They eat rodents and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the opening has to be 3 inches. And the box itself has to be facing, I think, to the north. I'm not sure which way.
Uh-huh.
The guy in Pittsburgh wants one. He called me and asked me if I can build one. I said, yeah.
Well, now, this is a box that a screech owl theoretically will eventually live in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? What a deal.
And I've been making a lot of kids' furniture, rocking chairs and rocking benches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're sturdy. They'll hold up to 250 pounds.
So, William, I wonder, on your deer mount... placards that you're doing it, you said, in the shape of the state of Ohio, but if some fellow was to call you up and said, I want one in the shape of Texas, could you do it?
Oh, yeah, I can do any state.
Okay, and then I was thinking, and too, boy, if you jumped on the old university theme, like Texas A&M.
That, oh, yeah.
Like the big deer hunters.
I do that with my football helmets.
Okay, all right.
And kids' furniture is doing good. You know, they're for ages about... I'd say 2 years up to 4 years old,
uh-huh.
You know, but I can sit in them. They hold me, they'll hold anybody.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
I don't know about that, but how do you put this kid's furniture together? With screws or glue or what?
Both.
Both.
Both,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like on the Ohio's, for the plaques, I use a biscuit joiner.
Uh-huh.
You know, and hold the boards together with a biscuit.
Yeah.
Then glue them. Well, then, you know, that board will never break in them spots.
It may break somewhere else, but not in those spots, will it?
Yeah. No.
So, William, do you do, I think we've had you on before as a guest.
Yeah.
I can't remember how long ago, but I know maybe you were kind of just getting started or maybe you've been doing it a while.
Yeah.
So you were just doing the clocks and... Sounds like you've expanded, and I'm wondering, like, not being nosy or anything, but is this thing paying for itself? Is it on a profit-type basis, or?
Yeah, mainly in the summertime.
Yeah.
You know, like, I sell a lot of the rocking chairs and rocking benches. I mean, I probably sold... Through the summer, this past summer, I probably sold maybe two dozen of each.
Wow.
Really?
Okay,
yeah.
So do you do the flea market scene? Or
no.
Okay, in Texas, we have probably 100 and something miles from here, there's a town that every first of the month or for a weekend. People just swarm up there, and you can buy anything under the sun.
Yeah, gigantic flea market.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been building a lot of plant stands or end tables for out on the porch. You know, I make them out of red oak, and I have one out on my porch. It's made out of maple.
Mm-hmm. So you have a biscuit joiner.
Yeah.
You have a table saw.
Yep.
You have a chop saw.
Yep.
You have a router with a router table.
Yeah, I got a couple routers.
Couple routers, one holding your hand and one on a table.
Yeah, no. They're both on tables. The one I use to cut out my patterns, It's got a, it has a, I made a table for it. It's probably 4 foot by 3 foot, so I can spin my patterns around.
Uh-huh.
So you can spin them around.
Yeah, I have more tables, more service for the bigger stuff I'm cutting out.
William, do you have any vision?
None.
Okay, I'm impressed already. Man, I can see pretty good, and I don't really care to use a router.
Well, just take your time. I don't get in a hurry.
Yeah, the router is one dangerous piece of equipment as far as, if you ever got a finger in that one.
Yeah.
In other words, the state of Ohio, you actually freehand draw that, or what?
I have a pattern.
Okay.
I made out a piece of, I think it's half inch or three quarter inch plywood.
Uh-huh.
Well, to begin with, I have an overhead projection screen, like they have in schools. You put a picture down out of a magazine or a book.
Uh-huh.
I can make it 2 inches big or 22 inches big on a piece of plywood. Then I have someone, draw it out, then they cut it out for me.
Oh, you don't try to cut it yourself?
No, not the patterns.
Not the pattern.
Not the pattern.
But once you have the pattern, you'll cut out the piece.
Right.
That lends credence to what we've always said. Don't be afraid to seek a little sighted help.
Yeah, that's true.
Because really, in your type of business, if you just had to sub that little part out, that's not bad.
I'd have to keep my fingers close to the blade just to make sure I'm staying,
on
a groove. If I scratch a pattern in there, there ain't no way I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Wise decision.
So once they cut the pattern, then what do you do?
I laminate the boards together, and I screw the pattern down to the good wood, but I have to reverse it like the state of Ohio. If I want the good side facing me, I have to turn the pattern over, so when I'm screwing down through the pattern, the screw holes are in the back of the piece of wood.
Right, yes, sir. Right. I got you. I see you.
Yeah.
And then when it's done, I just take it off and put a round over edge on it, with the other router. That's why I have two routers. I got my pattern cutting bit and my big router, and when I put different designs on the edges of things, I use my smaller router on the regular router table.
Yeah, to put a little edge on
yeah,
something.
Roundovers on the states. That's what I put on them. I do that for, there's no guards or nothing. I have to take my fence off and everything. But the state's big enough to hold to where my hands are not close to the bit. And that's why I just keep spinning the state around,
And you can kind of follow the pattern of the...
And so you got no fence, and so you're moving this along the edge of your router, and it may curve in and then curve back out.
Yeah.
So it moves around, and so you have to really... That'd be a tricky thing to do.
But how do you keep from cutting the edge of your pattern, nicks out of the edge of your pattern?
Well, there's a roller bearing. When I put the pattern down on a good piece of wood, the roller bearing rolls all around, on the pattern.
Yeah, it rolls along the bearing. Okay.
The pattern rolls along the bearing, and then you're cutting... The other wood is being cut with a router blade.
Right.
So it has to be at exactly the right height.
Yep.
Yeah, that has to be perfect.
What a nervy thing.
Yeah, that's quite a deal, man.
I have to do. And it's the thing about it is it's noisy. When you flip that router on, you've got a lot of noise going.
Noisy and dusty.
Yeah. It's noisy and nasty and dusty.
That's
like having a wild animal in you.
It would be. It'd be like having a wild animal. So so the pattern is screwed on there, and then you're just sneaking along cutting with your router blade. Then you do it once. Then you have to do it again because the router doesn't go all the way through the wood, does it?
Right. I put the round over on it, right, just on the edge.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah.
You know,
it would. It would take time.
Like the football helmets, they the guard, the face mask, that's the, I think, the hardest one I've done. Because there's like, I use my smallest router bit. I got to drill down through the good piece of wood to get a hole started to where my smallest router bit will go down in there and follow around that.
Okay.
There's, you know, I wouldn't say real fine detail work, but there's a lot of drilling and, you know, just to get the face mask to look good. But I do the Pittsburgh Steeler helmets and Buckeye helmets, Wolverine helmets.
It's amazing. That's amazing that you, you know, how long have you been blind? All your life?
No, I lost the sight of my right eye when I was 15 months old with a Perry knife.
Oh, man.
I lost the sight of my left eye July 6th of 96 cutting grass.
Cutting grass.
I remember that story.
Yeah, I remember this. It was like something was determined to blind you.
Yeah, something was determined to get you.
Yeah. It was just they were determined that you were going to be blind. Another, almost like when you think about it, you know. But you survived, and you seem to be doing all right, selling a few things.
Oh yeah, now I'm doing something nerve wracking.
What is that?
I've been getting on the computer.
Learning the computer, are you?
Oh yeah, that's more nerve wracking than cutting wood.
That's more nerve wracking than running the router around those patterns. You think?
Yeah, if I would have had an old computer, it'd been scattered all over my backyard.
Yeah.
Are you doing Jaws? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I was getting trained probably about 6 years ago.
Right.
I couldn't take it anymore. Uh-huh. You know, and I just stopped. Then I finally broke it out. I got a Dell computer, and I put Jaws in my Dell. And probably about 3 weeks ago, you know, I'm navigating online now and.
Good.
Well, that's good.
What a deal.
Yeah.
That's great. Is anybody helping you some?
A friend of mine up in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
He's running Jaws, and my neighbor, he works on computers. And
oh, good.
He's
good.
Come over. And
that helps.
One day I couldn't get my music to play.
Uh-huh.
Here, the last person was on the computer, left my mouse sitting there, and I bumped the mouse, and when I bumped the mouse, it was on mute.
Ah,
you know, so I make sure everybody puts it up on the top shelf now.
Oh, so you got a computer that other people fool with?
Well, my neighbor, when he comes over and checks stuff out for me.
Yeah, but you don't have anybody else in your house that messes with it?
No.
Good.
No.
Good, because that makes things difficult if you do. Because they always, my wife, bless her heart, she's got computers of her own now, of course. But when we only had one, it was tough.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that and this may not help you at all, but the thing that got me to where I would fool with the computer is when I realized that you can go to the menu bar and there's always a way to close whatever you're in.
Yeah.
And once I found that out, everything was fine. You know, if I can get out of it.
Yeah, there's always a way to get out.
There's always a way to get out of anything you get in.
Yeah, I guess the insert key and the tab key and is probably one of the main keys.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, the insert tab key
things.
And insert key.
You will learn to love it. Trust me. You may not think so now.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. As long as I can read my newspaper now, I'm happy.
Well, are you? Have you ever heard the Blind Handyman? Do you listen to that?
Not on the computer yet.
Okay.
Now I've got the Cooking in the Dark website.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, and I've listened to a few of them. And
okay, well, when you get good on your computer, you can go up there and get all the Blind Handyman you want.
At acnradio.org.
They've got every show we've ever done, some 200 and some that we've ever done. So.
Have they got the archives fixed, Charlie?
Not yet.
No,
I don't think so.
Really?
But one day the archives will be back. So
we're gonna have to. They promised me they'd fix those.
And you might as well join the list once you get the handyman list. There's lots of woodworkers on that list.
Oh, there are.
You guys could talk.
I think you could probably tell them a thing or two.
Yeah.
And I've got in a ACB radio chat room.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, our place or something.
Yeah,
it's called
our place.
I think. There's lots of those sites around now that have voice chat rooms and things. Yeah, it's a whole new world.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
Well, that's good. Now, William, how old are you, sir?
46.
46. You're just a child.
I don't feel like it.
Compared to us old men. But you are. Trust me. Trust me. This is getting old ain't all it's cracked up to be. But
this weather's working on me, you know, every year. you know, we keep saying, me and my fiance, you know, we're going to move south. We're moving south.
Well, yeah, yeah. You move south, it'll be 110 degrees in August, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I have a sister that lives in Urbana, Ohio. How far? It's close to Dayton. I'm like 60 miles, someplace around Dayton. Where are you?
I'm like 165, 170 miles from Columbus.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
So yeah, I'm east of Columbus.
You're up north or...
Yeah, I'm. You know, did you ever hear of Wheeling, West Virginia?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm 24 miles north of Wheeling.
Okay.
WWVA.
You're right there on the border, close to Pennsylvania, too.
I can go out on my front sidewalk and see the Ohio River.
Is that right?
Wow.
Well, that's where they have the Jamboree in the Hills at, down there in St. Clairsville, Ohio.
Is that right?
Which is right there, you know, right beside Wheeling.
Yeah, Wheeling Jamboree.
Yeah, and everybody comes from all over the country to that.
Bluegrass and all kinds of old music. I think they play there.
Yeah, it's not sometimes the Oak Ridge Boys and I don't know. I don't listen to country that much.
Is that right?
Yeah, I grew up on it with my family when I was little. That's all they listened to.
Is old country music?
Yeah.
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 So, all right. Well, do you have a website or an email address yet?
No. I can give you my phone number.
Won't you do that? Maybe somebody call you and want a clock or want you to make something or want to talk woodwork with you?
Oh, yeah. I've shipped stuff all over the United States. I ship stuff to Alaska and China.
Oh, that's right. That's
another thing, William, last week or so, we had a fella on that reads a woodworking magazine.
I bet you love.
Are you familiar with him? He'll send them to you on a CD.
Oh, no, huh?
Well, he reads several magazines, and he did it. Anyway, what we need to do, we'll get your phone number, and we'll get some contact and maybe put y'all two in touch because it's free. And he devotes, he's a retired fella, sighted, and he just took this upon himself. Anyway, you might like it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, I'll see about getting you his number. Larry, Woodworking for the Blind.
Yeah, I've been going to call him. I need to, so many things, you know. It's like your atomic clock there, Don. You just never get around to all of it.
Multitasking.
All right, William Miller's phone number is
740-537-9866.
All right, one more time.
740-537-9866.
And you'll answer the phone and talk to them about woodwork or anything they want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. They don't have to call to order something. If they want some hints or tips, you know, on an easy way to do something, call me.
They might want to give you some tips.
Yeah, I can use some, too.
I can use some. Well, all right, sir. You've, as usual, been a great guest. We appreciate you, and we'll let you go, and you keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you in a year or so, William.
All right, thanks.
Well, thank you, sir.
Have a good one, William.
Bye-bye. William Miller. Do we get Diana Krall again, Pat?
I think.
That's some
soul.
Somebody.
That's some soul music. All right, let's take a little short break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the weirdest computer program you've ever heard of in your life. Hang on. You brought this, so you tell us. You tell us about it, and we'll run it. All right?
Yeah. Okay. Excuse me. I'm like everybody, or I'm not like everybody else. Guess I've all my life, I'm kind of a TV junkie, and a lot of times you just see things, and I just log it, you know, put it in the back of my mind or anything. Mm-hmm. But anyway, new commercial, Craftsman has what they call the CompuCarve, and it is a machine that is you it just kind of, like it says, it uses your computer, or it has a smart card in it that you can go put programs on this card and use this machine, and it carves out designs from very simple patterns to fairly complex, and they have this whole library on the computer. But if you weren't satisfied with that, there's even a way with the software and stuff to design your own. So we're going to run you the little blurb of it that I got off of YouTube, obviously, but I think it's their professionally done commercial, and then I'll tell you a little more that's not in there. So,
all right, let's see if it'll play here. See if we can get it up. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful wood carving. It's inspired, and having the know-how makes all the difference. Now it's easy for everyone with the Craftsman Coffee Carve woodworking machine. It lets anyone craft wood like a pro. Start on your PC and open a library of beautiful designs, or create your own. It's as easy as pointing and clicking. Transfer them to the Coffee Carve and watch it turn your ideas into elegant wood carvings. Simple shapes, intricate designs, and everything in between. Take your creativity to the next level. Call now or go to craftsman.com/carve and see everything you can do. The Craftsman Coffee Carve comes with 2 carbide bits, memory card, and software.
Is that it?
I think there's a little more.
World of difference between a piece of wood and a piece of art. Nothing inspires you to take things to the next level like Craftsman know-how.
He sounded kind of like the guy from Ohio, didn't he?
Yeah. Of course, I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag at the time, but I was going to ask William, our guest, had he ever heard of this. Because it sounds like it might be something that would fit right into his type.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does.
Type of thing. But anyway, this is an amazing machine. It's a tabletop machine. And just from the pictures, it looks to be about, I don't know, 30 inches wide, if that. It reminded me of an old sewing machine, just the probably not in a cabinet, but one, a portable sewing machine that would set up on top of your workbench. And they say it is a combination cross-cut saw and or it will rip boards. And here's the amazing thing about it. So I guess it has some way of feeding this through. It will accept up to a 14.5-inch wide board. And this stock, this wood stock, can be 5 inches thick. Now, that's pretty healthy. And the length is almost it doesn't care. So obviously it feeds it through some way. So, you know, when I saw the 14.5-inch wide board that it would accept, I got to just looking at my cabinet doors at my house, and I don't have one that's 14. You know, they're all maybe a little smaller than that. So you could do some intricate cabinet-type door things, or you could do toy boxes or, fancy box, or you could make several panels if the box or the whatever you were, like a quilt box. A lot of women get all wrapped up about a quilt box. You could do some really fancy, like cedar type chests. But the neat thing is not being limited on the length.
Now, the blade comes down from the top or what?
I couldn't exactly tell that. I really don't. I mean, I guess it's really more like router blade. So it either comes up probably from the top.
You mean from the bottom?
Probably comes down from the
Something drops
the top.
Down on the
wood.
Yeah,
in other words, I think you feed your board in, and then the bulk of the machinery looked like it was the top. But I could be totally wrong. Didn't really show that. The downside, but there again, if it's a good cross cut saw, like our chop saws we call it, and it says it will. I don't know how complicated could you just put a board in, say I want to cut boom and do that, but the thing costs like $1,700. I mean that's the thing. But if you were really into, if you had a cabinetry or whatever, I'm sure you could just do like. You know, the old-timey homemade cabinet doors had just a little router groove all the way around them, Donald, on the face.
Yeah, I've seen
it.
So if you were just turning those out for some, like our guy in Florida that was going to do the Habitat cabinets.
Yeah,
and they wanted to make them a little different than...
I wonder if Sears would have one of these.
Well, it is a Craftsman, and they said they're available at your store, so it would be interesting to go look at it here in Lufkin.
Maybe they would give us one to demo for the show or something.
And there's some other company. I didn't pursue it because Craftsman, just there was so much available. But there's another one called the Magic Carver or something. Magic Carver. I'm sure this is a thing. The future, you know, coming to, I mean, a lot of people will probably have them.
Coming to a theater
but
near you.
What Don and Phil and I were talking about is think of the ramifications, especially for a blind, handy guy, woodworker who really loves woodworking, and it's not the safest thing to get into. But let's just say, okay, if you had this CompuCard that would fit your table saw, and all of a sudden you punch the button and you hear the fence being adjusted for you, the blade height being adjusted for you, and then you put your piece of plywood on this trolley and you punch the go button and let her rip, you know.
But you're thinking it feeds the board itself?
Well, I'm thinking it will. I mean, I'm thinking that you insert the stock, I guess, and depending on which pattern you have, obviously it's going to have to, something is going to move.
Yeah.
The board is probably stationary, I think, and maybe the inside stuff moves, but I have no idea. I just know it can do some real intricate patterns or very simple. You know, like back in the old days, this would be like we had one at TSB in our shop that I'm sure that we were never allowed to use. That this guy was talking about having the state of Ohio. We would have had a metal pattern of the state of Ohio, and with one hand you trace that yourself, and the blade over here to your right, there's two heads to this machine, and as I trace it with the non-cutting thing, the blade is following my movements and cutting out of the wood. And so that was a primitive version of what you have here.
They had one of those at the Blind School?
Yes, uh-huh.
It
was an etching type. I mean, they use them, I guess, in metal working and or wood. But this, like, if you wanted to, you know, say you had a picture of a dog or, a flat profile of a dog. You just, with my left hand, I would have ran the stylus, like, around this outline. And over here with my left hand, on my right side, there is actually a drill bit cutting the wood out to the it's following my pattern. And so
I didn't realize.
Yeah, that's like 50 something years
ago. I didn't realize Bill Everton had one of those. I wonder what he did with it.
I have probably took it home with
him. I took it home with him. That's probably right.
Yeah.
All right. So we might go to a Sears. Maybe there'd be a Sears store like at the Woodlands or Braybrook Mall or something. If our guys don't have it. I'd like to see it.
Because you can get it interest free for 12 months and $1,700. So, you know.
I'm not. I'm not. But
I was just thinking about how blind friendly could it be.
I'd like to see one and let you know. Maybe we'll go look at that. All right. You were going to tell us something about fluorescent.
All right, yeah. You know, here about 3 or 4 months ago, I went on my fluorescent going green kick, and I succeeded, and I've finally gotten an electric bill that I think represents my efforts. However, I do have some qualms about certain light bulbs. In my house, we put a lot. There were a lot of recessed lights. They're also up very high, 10, 12-foot ceilings.
Speaking of that, where is my thing that does that?
I brought it back.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. We will have to pursue that later. I know. I think Emily branded
it. I don't think you brought it back.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I will look for it, but I'm certain I do not have. If I do not, I will replace it.
All right.
Anyway, and that there is the dilemma. You use the suction cups to put these up, but out of the 5 that I have in my kitchen, I have had to replace 3. In fact, going
really?
From 4.
That's
and
not
that's
good.
Not very good long life. The problem is, the little curly lights work fine.
And they
I've
last
got some
a long
of those.
Time, too.
I've got one in a lamp that's been there 5 years because it was in that lamp before I moved to the house we're in.
Right.
And it's still cranking on. So here's the deal. If I want to put the curly lights in my 10 and 12 foot high light fixtures and I can't use the suction cup, how are you going to do it?
You can't do it.
Okay, see, and so now Phil has like mine that are giving me problem are the floodlights, the fluorescent floods. Phil has like the light bulbs here in the studio that look like regular light bulbs. So far, he's had good luck.
I have
3 of those in one light fixture, and I've had no problems with those, so I may go to those, but I don't know that the suction cup would do. It may.
It would do those.
It may do those. Okay. So that might be the option. But anyway, here's the thing. If you read the little fine print around fluorescent lights, it says, well, if don't use them, or they'll last longer if you turn them on for 15 minutes or more. But just a little. However, we have had fluorescent tube lights forever, and nobody ever told us that. I mean, there's all garages had fluorescent lights from the 50s, from the 1950s. And I've got, there again, in our house, I've got fluorescent lights out in my garage that I just turn them on, turn them off. Emily's going to the car in the morning to go to work, turn them on. When she goes, turn them off. And they're still there. So I don't know about the 15. These being in the kitchen. Because normally when I turn them on, they stay on forever. But it just so happens that I've lost really almost four out of the original five, and that's not.
And they're what are they?
About two for $9.
Well, I'm saying, are they regular light bulbs like that?
No,
what are they?
They're like floodlights. They're the fluorescent.
Oh, big fat floodlights.
Because they fit up in my recessed canister.
And they burned out.
And they've just crapped out. Yeah. Now I don't know that we had a surge. You know, I had one of my keyboards here, you know, about 2 months ago that I suspected had taken a lightning hit. I don't know if that was an effect, but whatever. Okay, now, I was just going to briefly mention cordless phones.
All right.
In all of my infinite wisdom, there were a couple of places in my house I did not put jacks for telephone.
That's what I heard.
Okay. And so anyway, one time I bought a set of cordless phones, and it was so complicated because you had to manually sync the extra receiver. You know, they come with one or two or three extra. Anymore, I bought a pair of their VTech or something they're called. Anyway, $59, no answering machine to fool with, and the handset finds the other phone without you doing a thing.
I've never heard anything about finding,
man, the first one I had, it said handset not linked. And so you'd have to go through the menu and link it. And every time you'd have an electrical outage, you'd have to go reprogram it. It never could find the handset, so I threw them in the trash.
Now, on this clock... On this atomic clock, don't close the battery compartment on the probe, the outside probe up, until the clock sees it.
Okay. I'll remember that.
Really?
It's got a little gasket around there. Don't take that off either.
Okay.
It's a weatherproofing gasket.
Okay.
And you don't have to match the two. They'll find each other.
They'll find each other very quickly.
Well, yeah. That's really what I liked about my new phones. Man, I just plugged it. I mean, there it was, and it's working. Yeah. I love them, so...
All right. Well, we're glad. We're happy that cordless phones are a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, we didn't have cordless phones. You had to go out in the hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hanging on the wall out in the hall.
Yeah. And this one, you know, has its own base for its little satellite receiver. So it's just like having a phone that you didn't have to wire up. You have to have a wall plug to get power. But
I mean, when we first got a phone extension, I thought, this is great. Because used to, you had to stand in the hall and talk on the phone. Remember that? They're always out in the hall.
Have a second phone in your house.
Have a second phone. Seemed like there was a commercial.
Yeah.
All right, we're going. Don Shaw, Don Pat, thank you, guys.
Yep.
We'll do it again next. I guess we better do spring break because I'm going to be gone in the first 2 weeks in June.
Yeah.
So we might as well go ahead and drift through spring break. What the heck, right?
Yeah, because we're going to be gone. Yeah,
you're going to be gone
May
with me.
31st, 28th, something or other. Yeah.
Be gone for a while.
We might have to do one remote from over there.
Be gone for a couple of weeks. A remote from France.
We might have to send something to the show.
Yeah, that would be a good trip, wouldn't it? Well, if we had Skype on a laptop, we could do it, actually.
I've got the little Zoom recorder. We could send him out.
I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. We'll see you next week. Bye.